superhero, protecting the world from the famous bad guys and chicks, like the Aztec mummy man, the Mayan vampire women, oh yeah. And you know, you can hear him on the back streets of Mexico City on a cool, cool evening in a small white Ford sports car. You know, I'm talking about Santo. That's right, Santo. One more time, I'm talking about Santo. The man. The man. Viva!
Sam, I was a chasing poor sweet Sue. He trapped her in the old sawmill and said with an evil laugh,
"If you don't give me the deed to your ranch, I'll saw you all in half."
And then he grabbed her.
Help, he grabbed me, help!
He tied her up.
Help, he tied me up, help!
He turned on the bus.
He turned on the bus. Help, help, help!
And then along came John, talking Jones, slow walking Jones,
slow talking Jones.
Along came rumbling Lanky Jones.
Commercial came on, so I got up to fix myself a snack. Well, you should have seen what was going on by the time that I got back.
Down in the old abandoned mine, sweet Sue was having fits. That villain said,
"Give me the deed to your ranch, I'll blow you all to bits."
And then he grabbed her.
Help, he grabbed me, help.
He tied her up.
He tied me up again, help.
He lit the fuse to the dynamite.
He lit the fuse to the dynamite, help. Help.
Walking Jones. Slow Walking Jones.
Slow Talking Jones.
Along came Lonely Lanky Jones. I turned it off and turned on another show. But there was the same old shoot 'em up and the same old rodeo. Salty Sam was trying to stuff Sweet Sue in a burlap sack. He said,
if you don't give me the DDO ranch, I'll throw you on the railroad tracks.
And then he grabbed her.
Help, he's grabbing me again.
He tied her up.
He'll go get tied up.
He's threw her on the railroad tracks. And then along came Jones, Talking Jones, Slow Walking Jones,
Slow Talking Jones.
Along came Lonely Lanky Jones, along came Lonely Lanky Jones, along came Lonely Lanky Jones.
And he said, thought he was dead, but he is alive instead. He is playing his drums, the country music band snuck up behind with a brick in his hand. Cut looked bad, so I combed down his hair. That night I created there Ringo.
Ringo.
The wound healed fast, I'm proud to say. Liked his hair combed down that way. Had to be cut just a little in front. He kept swinging, missing, falling through his drums. Liked it so well he found three other guys. Wore their hair all down in their eyes like Ringo.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Together they created a brand new sound. Made girls faint and parents leave town. Tried not to like the music they played. Locked myself in my room for days. Hung Beatle pictures all over my walls. Stopped getting my hair cut and let it grow long like Ringo's.
Ringo.
Symptoms was there. Knew I was hooked. Ran out and bought all their albums I could. Anybody ask, I denied it, of course. But I sang along until I was hoarse. It is no use, I can tell I'm sick. I'm a Beatle addict. I need to fix some Ringo.
Won't you please, please help me?
I guarded my secret the best I could. But tragedy struck like I knew it would. Word leaked out all over town. My leader, Chet Atkins, had finally found out. They took away my picks and hung up my guitar. Now I guess I'll never be a star like Ringo.
Ringo.
They say I can go home in a month or two. The cure's working fine, but my career's all through. Cut down to just two Beatle records a day and nearly stopped saying yay, yay, yay. But there's not much demand, should have known all along. For a cowboy singer with hair this long, like Ringo's.
Ringo. Yay, 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 yay,
yay! Stryker Bill worked a whaling boat, Big Eagle. And at slinging a harpoon, we all knew he was best. But Captain Paxton was tough, his language vile and gruff. And he used to cuss old Bill with every breath. A striker's job's to wield a 10-foot harpoon. Take takes a lot of guts as well as skill. With sharks as thick as flies, if a striker slips, he dies. But this never seems to worry old Striker Bill. I asked Bill several times why he stayed in Paxton. He could strike for any boat, and this I knew. But he'd squint them steel gray eyes, and always he'd reply, "Oh, salt, it's 'cause the devil must have his dues." Yeah, the devil must have his dues, old Bill would chuckle. But the way he'd say it'd make your blood run cold. When I asked him what he meant, he would say with that fiendish glint, "When the devil gets his dues, old salt, you know." It was Friday morning and the weather was something awful. Paxton cussed Striker as Big Eagle pulled away. But Big Eagle soon returned, and that's the time we learned what old Bill had meant by the things he'd say. At daybreak, I heard somebody holler, "Hey, Big Eagle's pulling back into the bight." And there lying on her deck, Bill's harpoon through his neck, was Paxton. Oh, it was quite a gory sight. The gangplank fell and Bill walked slowly down it. The crowd had gathered, oh, maybe 100 or 2. And as they led old Bill away, he turned to me to say, "Like I said, old salt, the devil gets his dues."
Should be for all the world to see a statue of a king made of gold, an image of a man who was loved throughout our land, and whose music touched the heart of every soul. And the love could be seen in his eyes, so the world would recognize the symbol of a man who was kind, and the smile on his face would show so everyone is contentment there inside. So build a statue
was gone. What's come over our great land? America is still my home, sweet home. But where have all our heroes gone?
I saw a group of boys the other day standing in the corner of a playground, looking and laughing at a magazine. And I overheard one of the boys say, "Man, is he ever cool." And he pointed to the man whose picture was on the magazine cover. And everybody kind of said under their breath, "Yeah, he's cool, all right." And I got sick to my stomach, because I'd seen the cover. And the man that they were talking about had instigated a riot in one of our major cities last summer. And the magazine was writing about how the police were unkind to him, the judges were unfair with him, and how he talked back and slung his long hair about and cussed and did his thing. And they made him into a regular hero. And inside this magazine was the story of the baseball player who got involved with the gamblers, of the football player who said that football was not the end, just a means to an end, meaning the girls and the good times. And a story of the folk singer who proudly claims to be both a member of a party alien to our government and a non-tax-paying citizen. These young boys read with open eyes and open minds. And I thought to myself, my God, are these the people that these young boys look up to? Are these their idols? Are these the heroes of the now generation?
America is still my home, sweet home.
I had heroes when I was a kid. We all did. And our heroes did their thing, too. Like General Douglas MacArthur, who returned like he said he would. Like Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, who chased the bad guys right off the screen. Like Lindbergh, who flew the ocean. And Jesse Owens, who showed Hitler. And John Wayne and Gary Cooper. After all, didn't they really win the war? And General Ike, bless your soul, because you made us feel safe. We've killed some of our recent heroes, the Kennedys and Kings. And even as great as their space feats are, how many of the astronauts can you name? Huh? How many? My heroes were people like Joe DiMaggio, who proved that nice guys can finish first. And Stan Musial, who never had an unkind word for anybody. And Winston Churchill, whose two fingers raised together meant victory. Not just a let-your-enemy-have-it-all kind of artificial peace. This country needs a lot of things today, friends, but it doesn't need any one thing any more than it needs some real heroes. Men who know what it means to be looked up to by a grimy-faced kid. Men who want to sign autograph books and not deals under the table. Men who are willing to play the game with the people who made them heroes. Men who don't mind putting on a white hat and saying thank you. And please, I wish I knew more men that I'd be proud for my son to look up to and say, "Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be just like him."
Afternoon or good evening, I allow you to decide this. This is, after all, The Bit Slap with me, your host, KBC. And today, where I'm sitting anyway, it's President's Day, which gave me the bright idea that we don't have any heroes anymore. Presidents are supposed to be heroes. God knows those days are long over. So I started thinking, why not? Let's see where our heroes have gone. And they've just gone the way of the 10-cent cheeseburger down the gut of history. and out the poop chute of expectations. So we started with Southern Culture on the Skids. Viva de los Santos! Ray Stevens. Along Came Jones. I believe that was the Coasters. Was that the Coasters did that originally? Don Bowman, the other Ringo. Stryker Bill from Jimmy Dean. Roger McDowell. Not the pitcher, but the other Roger McDowell. Statue of a King. The King is gone, but continues to insert himself into our society and our expectations. And then Bill Anderson. Where have all our heroes gone? Well, this is a good question. I have no answers. All I have is a lot of broken expectations, just like the rest of you. And what can I tell you? You, however, have an option. You can be a hero for a day. The FMU Marathon is coming up. And starting, I believe it starts next week, February 28th. And we'll be looking for heroes who can bravely pick up a phone or log on or just shout loud enough for somebody to hear you that, yes, I'll step up. I will help you. Here's my check. Here's my pledge. So you'll be getting all kinds of details about that. You could probably log on now and pledge ahead of time, pre-marathon style. I understand there are special gifts for that. I have my own marathon thingamajig coming out this year, kind of like last year. You can qualify for that. But we'll talk more about that next week. Meanwhile.
June 4th, 1973 was much like any other summer's day in Peterborough. And Ralph Mellish, a file clerk at an insurance company, was on his way to work as usual, when nothing happened. Scarcely able to believe his eyes, Ralph Mellish looked up, but one glance confirmed his suspicions. Behind a bush on the side of the road, there was no severed arm, no dismembered trunk of a man in his late 50s, no head in a bag. Nothing. Not a suspect. For Ralph Mellish, this was not to be the start of any trail of events which would not, in no time at all, involve him in neither a tangled knot of suspicion nor any web of lies which would, had he been not uninvolved, surely have led him to no other place than the Central Criminal Court of the Old Bailey. But it was not to be. Ralph Mellish reached his office in Dalzell Street, Peterborough, at 9.05 a.m., exactly the same time as he usually got in.
Morning, Mr. Mellish.
Morning, Enid.
Enid, a sharp-eyed, clever young man who had been at the firm for only 4 weeks, couldn't help noticing the complete absence of tiny but telltale bloodstains on Mr. Mellish's clothing. Nor did she notice anything strange in Mr. Mellish's behavior that whole morning. Nor the next morning, nor at any time before or since the entire period she worked with that firm.
Have the new paper clips arrived, Enid?
Yes, they're over there, Mr. Mellish.
Oh.
But for the lack of any untoward circumstances for this young secretary to notice, and the total non-involvement of Mr. Mellish in anything illegal, the full weight of the law would have ensured that Ralph Aldous Mellish would have ended up, like all who challenge the fundamental laws of our society, in an iron coffin with spikes on the inside.
Still scowling black, good Captain Flack must eat his humble pie. His bed is made, the colors fade, his eyes once wet and dry. The naked mute sits and chews tobacco off a tree. Moves his shoes, gives way to booze, and searches endlessly.
See the naked jungle light, sit
humble heart. His bed is made, the colors fade, his eyes once were dark.
Bill was a hard-living man. He used to take his women two at a time. Everyone agreed he was the baddest engineer that ever driven down the Santa Fe line. His name was known from the folks back home to the tippy-top of Telegraph Hill. And all the little boys, when they were sneaking cigarettes, they used to dream about the railroad Bill. One day Bill was walking along and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. When he saw it was the matter, he ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. Bill said, no, ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna climb up no tree. This is a stupid, stupid song, and no folk singer's gonna make a fool out of me. I said, one day Bill was walking along, and he saw a kitten stuck in a tree. Oh, and he saw it was the matter, he ran to get a ladder to set that kitty cat free. And Bill said, no, ain't gonna do it, ain't gonna do what you said. This is a stupid, stupid song, and as far as I'm concerned, that cat can stay there till it's dead. I said, wait a minute, Bill, you can't argue with me. For God's sake, I just made you up. I got the pen in my hand, I want you up in that tree. I want that cat unstuck. Bill said, no, I hate cats. Ain't gonna climb for no cat. He said, why don't you have it say some beautiful girl who's been tied down on a railroad track. I said, maybe there'll be room in the eighth or ninth verse, but right now I want you up in that tree. I'm the writer, goddamn, I got the pen in my hand, and you're supposed to listen to me. He said, you asshole, why should I listen to you? You should be listening to me instead. He said, I'm a railroad man, and if I was real, I'd separate your face from your head. You ungrateful brute, I cried, you pushed me too far. I gotta show you I can do as I please. So an earthquake came, and it shook the whole terrain, and it brought Railroad Bill to his knees. And then a tidal wave broke, and everything got soaked, and Bill was almost completely washed away. And then a big green monster from the planet Neptune landed and bare Railroad Bill on the leg. I got the pen in my hand, I can do what I want. I'm a bright new young talent on a rise. So get your ass up that tree, or I swear you ain't gonna get out of my folk song alive. He said, you don't scare me. You might be funny, but you don't scare me. And if you don't leave me alone, I'm gonna tell everybody where you stole this melody. But before he could speak, his tongue fell out. He could not make a sound. Suddenly, he jumped on top of me, grabbed me by the neck, and he pulled me to the ground. He hit me in the stomach, and he hit me in the face real hard, and I think he almost broke my nose. Just then, a lightning bolt came out of nowhere, hit him right between the eyes, and killed him instantly. The cat came down from the tree, had a bowl of warm milk, went to sleep for the night. Railroad Bill is survived by a wife and three small children. Dear God, I love to write.
They always got his name. He say, on King, on you great Husky, that great Husky say, bah! And he say, much all y'all Huskies, all them Huskies say, bah! Well, Dirty Dan, a sneaky villain, robbed a trading post one day. Well, for 30 days, 30 nights, I followed the tracks in the snow. And the wind was howling, the weather was cold. Lord, it must have been 40 below zero. All of a sudden, Kang, that great wonder dog, stopped dead in his track. Give out a mighty sniff, start sniffing all around there, cause he knew. He knew that Dirty Dan was behind the next snowdrift. And Sergeant Preston said, on King, on you great Husky, and that great Husky said, Lord, the brethren say, get him on, say, sick him, say, tear him up, that big dog, just tear through that snow, them teeth burned, them ears back, that tail stacking straight up there, just a shaking his head from side to side and breathing fine, he say, oh! Well, they brought that villain to justice, he didn't even put up a fight. When it's all that him, he almost died of fright. And a slide to Preston off the Yukon is proud cause he's done it again. He got his mane and you can hear him say, who needs Ren 10-10? He say, King, this case is closed. That dog say,
track about the latitude you do. Well, likely you're a chip off old Sir Rugglesby. Well, he was quite a sporting sort. Behind his cup of tea, he'd snort. I'll wager on the line £10,000 and five. I'm the only man who'll ever get to hell and come back alive. Now in the fall of 49, he skipped across the Severn brine this time, looking for a birth in naval history. Twas never heard nor seen again. Officially presumed is dead, but the words he left behind still echo through my mind. I'm the only man who'll ever get to hell and come back alive.
He's the only
come back alive. So off he went around the world. Then one night while tripping down the English coast, the moon was whiter than a ghost, almost, when I heard a voice yell through a megaphone.
And thereupon
the midnight sea, a signal lamp signaled me. I could feel me blood run cold as the message did decode. I'm the only man who's ever been to hell and come back alive. Well, who else could it be but good old Rugglesby?
He's the only man who'd ever get to
hell and come back alive.
Yes, he's the only man.
He's the only one
ever gonna be
who's been and gone.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest. bravest little hobbit of them all. Now hobbits are peace-loving folks, you know. They're never in a hurry and they take things slow. They don't like to travel away from home. They just like to eat and be left alone. But one day Bilbo was asked to go on a big adventure to the caves below to help some dwarves get back their gold that was stolen by a dragon in the days of old. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll. He riddled with Gollum. A magic ring he stole. He was chased by wolves, lost in the forest, escaped in a barrel from the Elf King's hall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all. Now he's back in his home in the land of Shire, that brave little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo.
In Northern California, where the ponderosa grow, where the mountain touches heaven with its perfect cloak of snow, there lived a man who took a stand to win his homeland back. His native name was Quintipush, but they called him Cap'n Jack. Cap'n Jack, he beat the army, overcame the cavalry, just like David or Goliath, he'll go down in history. The Modoc lived in harmony for centuries untold, with earth and wind and sky and sea and heat and bitter cold. They understood the earth was good but could not comprehend the white man's greed and endless need, and all to no good end. Cap'n Jack, he beat the army, cannonballs and powder kegs made the soldiers run like hound dogs with their tails between their legs. Back east, the people heard the news, how Cap'n Jack's small band, though cornered in the lava caves, refused to leave their lands. While hungry, cold, and destitute, afraid for their bloodlines, their faces proudly graced the front page of the New York Times. Cap'n Jack, he beat the army, long will be the story told, how the light of love and courage far outshone the lust for gold.
Doing the Batman in the nick of time, or climbing up a building, or fighting with a hood, you know you'll find him somewhere doing something good. And though he's just a boy, what wonders he can do. He can drive a car, run a train,
acrobat, a pugilist, mechanic, wizard, and scientist.
He's kind, he's good, he's brave, he's wise.
And he's 10 times stronger than 10 this time.
There goes Robin.
Where?
On land and sea and in the air.
Isn't any wonder they call him the boy wonder?
Robot lived, there was a great big tree that all the folks from miles around would come to town to see. They'd all come from miles around to see. The tree went up and up and up, way up into the sky. And when it rained, the tree would keep the town square dry. In the town where Robert the robot lived, up from the cold and bright, a bolt of lightning hit the tree and caused a great big crack. The lightning, it caused a great big crack. All the town where Robert the robot lived rushed to the village square to try to hold the big tree up till Robert could get there.
To hold it, till Robert could get there.
Now 500 men and women too all tried to hold the tree. The night so black, the wind so cold, that soon they'll start to freeze. So on through the night, Robert ran, through lightning glare, to the village square. Robert the robot, help us now. Robert the robot, hear our call. Robert ran to the giant tree and held it straight and tall. For by himself he fixed the tree so it would never fall. In
the town where Robert the Robot lived, there is a great big sign. It says, for Robert the Robot, who single-handedly saved a tree in the town square. This tree is hereby named the Robert the Robot Oak. And everything is fine.
All right, let's slow down and catch up a little bit, shall we? This is where I get to be the hero, because I know what we've heard, and I'm not willing to keep it a secret. So I very bravely will tell you about it. We started with Monty Python and the scary story of Ralph Mellish bravely doing what needs to be done. Procol Harum, good Captain Clack. I believe that was a flip side of Whiter Shade of Pale, the single. I don't know if that showed up on an album anywhere. Railroad Bill from Andy Breckman, Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. Jeez, Ray Stevens again, twice in one day for me. I don't know. I'm not a big Ray Stevens fan, but there you go. He knows his heroes. Klaatu, Sir Bodsworth Rugglesby. Bilbo Baggins from Leonard Nimoy. Captain Jack was the Space Lady. Boy Wonder, the Anonymouses. I think that was probably off of a Peter Pan record. Could have been the Corallers. Could have been the Tinkertones. The Tinkertones gave us Robert the Robot Saves the Day. And I'm wondering how many of you out there of a certain age had a Robert the Robot when you were growing up. It was a red robot that used to walk around, make a lot of noise, scare the cats. I had one. I didn't have a cat then, but I had a dog. It scared the shit out of the dog. So, all right, that brings us up to now. We have more heroes to humbly throw at you. You can be a hero. WFMU Marathon's coming up. I don't need to say any more because you're such a hero, you know what to do. We'll talk later.
your service, Mr. President. A name to remember, yours will go down in history. You've done much for us all, it's true what I meant. Wake up, Americans, now. But where is our democracy? Oh, east is east and west is west. The twain shall meet. You'll reside in the White House. Be a friend to man. And the Reds won't always sit on the scorner's seat. You'll win again in 72. We'll all go Republican. Oh, the great Richard Nixon, he's America's first choice. We should not change leaders in 1972. Another 4 years in Washington. Listen to the president's voice. Down with the Kong flag, up with the stars. Red, white, and blue. Oh, great Richard Nixon, first American president on communist ground. Oh, glory's waving somewhere in once a peaceful land. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men can be found. America and South Vietnam, together we must stand. Oh, Mr. President, I believe they'll agree on your terms. The Red invaders surrender or retreat from South Vietnam. But teach them a good lesson. The enemy never learns. For many unarmed civilians have died by their cruel hand. Oh, the great Richard Nixon, he's America's first choice. We should not change leaders in 1972. Listen to the president's voice. Down with the Kong flag, up with the stars. Red, white, and blue.
This here's the story of Cassius Clay, who changed his name to Muhammad Ali. He knows how to talk and he knows how to fight, and all the contenders were beat out of sight. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. He floats like a butterfly, it stings like a bee. Muhammad, the black Superman, to the other guy, Ali. Catch me if you can. Now all you fight fans, you've got to agree, there ain't no flies on Muhammad Ali. He fills the arena wherever he goes, and everyone gets what they said. You watch me shuffle and I jab off your head. He moves like the black Superman and calls to the other guy.
catch me if you can.
He says I'm the greatest the world's ever seen, the heavyweight champion who came back again. My face is so pretty, you don't see a scar, which proves I'm the king of the ring by far. Sing Muhammad, Muhammad Ali. He floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee. Muhammad, the black Superman, who calls to the other guy, I'm Ali. Catch me if you can.
Strong to the finish, cause I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm one tough kazookas, which hates old palookas. What ain't on the up and square? I dips him and puffs him and always outruffs him, and none of them gets nowhere. If anyone dares to risk my fist, it's Bob and it's Wham on the stand. So keep good behavior, that's your one life savior, with Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. I'm strong to the finish, cause I eats me spinach. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man.
Secret Agent 008 Irving Bond massaged the throbbing neck under the button-down collar of his pink Sea Island cotton shirt with the tapered body. Looming over him was the 300-pound frame of the notorious Gold Noodle.
So, Bond.
Yes?
You think you can stop my little fly-by-night noodle company from imitating Prince Golden Egg Noodles? Look!
The wall rolled back to reveal a busy assembly line. Sinister workmen were spraying pale, bland noodles with gold paint.
You can't get away with this, Gold Noodle. People will know they're not Prince Egg Noodles.
Not till they get them home and taste them. Then it'll be too late.
But people know to look for the bright blue Prince box with a basket of eggs on the front.
People? They're in too much of a hurry, sir. They rush into the store and grab the first noodle they come to. Don't reach for your thin Beretta automatic pistol with the Mark I silencer concealed in your custom-fitted Spanish suede shoulder holster, Bond.
Too late, Gold Noodle. He got away.
What?
He couldn't wait for you to finish describing his thin Beretta automatic pistol with a Mark I silencer.
If he gets to the store before the light of dawn, and he stays till the sun has come around and gone, oh man, he's a penny man in the great tradition of a penny man.
If he wishes that he could be a simple clerk, when he looks at his office and the paperwork, oh man, he's a penny man in the great tradition of a penny man.
If he's glad when a visit from the brass is through, and he goes for his DM and his EM too, oh man,
He's a penny man in the great tradition of a penny man.
If he looks at the kind of stuff the buyer picks, and he knows that he's in the hands of lunatics,
oh man, he's a penny man in the great tradition of a penny man. If he has to be certain everything gets done, and to teach new associates to count to one,
oh man, he's a penny man in the great tradition of a penny man.
If a hot shot is what he's got that he wants sold, but he finds though it's hot it leaves the public cold,
oh man, he's a penny man in the great tradition of a penny man.
On the days everything begins to go amiss, if he thinks surely camera was not like this,
oh man,
oh man, oh man,
he's a penny man,
he's a penny man
in the great tradition,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of a penny man,
he's a penny man.
If he can't join the other fellas for a romp, for he stays working later to protect his comp,
oh man,
oh man, oh man,
he's a penny man,
he's a penny man
in the great tradition,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of a penny man,
he's a penny man.
If he knows that the men up in New York are gems, but he'd like it if they would fix their IBMs,
oh man,
oh man, oh man,
he's a penny man,
he's a penny man
in the great tradition,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of a penny man,
he's a penny man.
Well, we guess that it's time for us to end this song, but there's one we could go on praising all night long.
Oh man,
oh man, oh man,
he's a penny man,
he's a penny man
in the great tradition,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of a penny man. But we're not through, because that all applies to every penny woman too.
And stop the big fire, touch the big sire. Don't think they're retired, big fires are on, get your fire truck on. Hey, firemen, get right on the ball and ask your fire call. Since the day I was born, fire trucks caught my eye. I'd sit there in my cradle when they go roaring by. I'd sit up and I'd listen, call that fire bell. When they start to ring, Mom and Dad could hear me yell, hey, firemen, get fire on the ball, and stop the big fire. When I used to go to school and a fire whistle blow, I'd take out after it, and away I would go. I would run until I reached the scene and start a fight with fire. All the while I was green. Hey, firemen, get fire on the ball, and put out the big fire. Now I'm a fireman, that's my job. I'm happy as I can be. Just call me a fireman, that is me. If your house catches fire, never worry, never fear. Just call a fire department, and yell out loud and clear. Hey, fireman, get fire on the ball, and put out the big fire. Start the big sire, don't think you're retired. Big fires are roaring, get your fire truck on. Hey, firemen, get right on the ball and answer your fire call. And answer your fire call.
I know a fat old policeman, he's always on our street. A fat and jolly red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman, he's never known to frown, and everybody says he is the happiest man in town. Awesome. upon point duty. He laughs upon his feet. He laughs at everybody when he's walking in the street. He never can stop laughing. He says he's never tried. But once he did arrest a man and laughed until he cried. His jolly face it wrinkled, and then he shut his eyes. He opened his great mouth, it was a wondrous sight. He said, I must arrest you, he didn't know what for. And then he started laughing until he cracked his jaw. When walking round the town, just shake him by his fat old hand and give him half a crown. His eyes will beam and sparkle, he'll gurgle with delight, and then you'll start him laughing with all his blessed might.
Okay, let's get back to some reality here and get into some serious playlist action. We started with Los Lobos, I Want to Be Like You, came out of Disney's Jungle Book. I don't think Disney wanted it to sound quite like that, but close enough. Gene Marshall, the great Richard Nixon, well, he was a hero to some people, I don't know. Johnny Franklin, the Black Superman, not Muhammad Ali. Popeye the Sailor Man from Alan Swift. Alan did a lot of the voiceovers in some of the cartoons. Jack Mercer was the one you're most familiar with that did the good voiceovers. Alan Swift, second rate, but better than I could do it anyway. A JCPenney product record. He's a Penny Man. Omo the Hobo after that. Hey, Fireman! The Laughing Policeman was Charles Penrose, and Little Smitty Williams gave us Seymour. Don't know who Seymour is, but he sounds like a swell guy. So that brings us up to the introduction of the mystery tune. Your mystery tune is coming up. Listen for it. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You'll know. You'll hear it. Next week, the FMU Marathon starts. I do have a Marathon Premium. It is a six-pack of exclusive podcasts prepared specifically for you. Without my interruptions. They will go straight through. It's about a little over an hour each. And there's six of them. So you may want to get in on that. There's lots of other stuff to be had at the marathon. But the most important thing is that you help us survive for another year. Because without FMU, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast. And I would not be able to justify this room full of records. And that opens up a whole can of worms. Trust me. So help me out on this, would you please? I'll see you next week with some more stuff. We'll do something marathon related. And actually, I'll tell you one of the things that's on the premium is a podcast devoting itself to work. And you will find on there, He's a Penny Man and Hey Fireman, which you just heard. Okay? See you later.
Have you heard anything recently of Squatter?
No,
I wouldn't think you would have heard anything of Squatter.
What's he up to at the moment?
Squatter Badass? Well, he tends to lie a bit low, you know.
Really? Why's that?
Well, he that's the way he lies. A bit low, which is the best way to lie, I think, in my view. But Squatter was one of my very best friends, which is him and him. He is, in fact, my only best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Squatter had this incredible quality, which was, I don't know how you can define it, but I would say it was, I say stupidity.
Yes.
Which very few people I've known have got quite the same extent that Squatter has.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever told you the story about Squatter and the ant.
No.
Have I told you about Squatter and the ant?
No.
So Squatter was in a terrible position.
Yeah.
He's in Bahrain, which is a pretty bloody place to be.
Yeah.
And there was this ant.
Yes.
Which had only one leg.
God.
And only one eye.
God.
And it was about 2 miles away from Squatter.
God.
So, pretty bloody menacing position for Squatter.
Yeah.
It was equipped only with, hydrogen bomb.
God.
Six grenades. God. And a few rifles.
Yeah.
And this bloody ant, one eye, one leg, was advancing towards Squatter at about, I'd say, about a mile every century, you know.
God.
Really speeding up.
Yeah.
I think the animal was on drugs.
Yes, or heat.
Or heat, yes, as you may say.
Mm.
And Squatter.
Yes.
With his extraordinary calm.
Yeah.
Took it very smoothly.
Yeah.
And you know what he did?
No.
Nothing.
Good God.
He immediately did nothing.
Yeah.
And this stupefied the ant.
Yeah.
Stopped in its tracks.
Yeah.
It didn't move an inch for about 3.5 years.
Yeah.
But still Squatter was very much aware the problem of the ant with all of one leg and all of one eye advancing towards him. So he took up, strategic positions, about 5,000 men on one side and 7,000 men on the other side, all equipped with various kinds of guns and so on. The ant was fairly pinpointed. But what was odd...
Yes, go on.
I will. Was the ant... understood Squatter. The ant realized he is up against somebody as good as as good as he was.
There's some sort of understanding between... They knew they were...
Equals. In a struggle, yes.
Yeah.
So Squatter, with a tremendous display of courage, put up his hands and surrendered.
Yeah.
And the ant, 5 years later...
5 years later?
Yes, 5 years later, crept into the hole, and Squatter was gone.
Mm.
This is the extraordinary thing about Squatter.
Mm-hmm.
He was never there when he was wanted.
No, no.
And Squatter told me later that he had gone because he'd had to go.
I think that's...
That sums up Squatter for me.
Yes, it's a sort of a very simple approach to life.
The ant, these days, is writing his memoirs, you know, in the Sunday Telegraph. But Squatter...
Squatter refuses to come
out. He refuses to comment on the whole situation.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
just won't.
Yeah.
He just won't. I think he's quite right.
I think he retains his dignity. Uh-huh.
Well, he retains everything.
What I think is the tragedy about Squatter is that you know that one of these days...
Yes, one of these
days. One of these days, he's going to let fly... With the most enormous fart.
Well, this is a tragedy about Squatter. I mean, one has tried to hush it up. One has attempted to put cushions up his arse. One has attempted to do many things. But Squatter, taken unaware, may give fly to the most enormous fart. And this will be his undoing.
Well... I just wish him luck. But more
I wish
than
him
that,
luck. At the same time, I wish him a strange sort of happiness.
Mm.
Death.
Yes. I think it's that would be the best thing for Squatter.
I think if death could come to Squatter now...
Rather than the other way round.
Yes.
I think we'd all be very happy.
I think so.